Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you. O Christ, O God, our rock and our salvation. Amen. The scripture this morning for the sermon comes from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, and we'll be reading verses 21 to 40. Hear the word of the Lord. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord." And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the failing, for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul as well." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. What just happened? 3 days ago, we celebrated Christmas. A great deal of fanfare, thought, and preparation led up to that day. And now, some of us are exhausted. Some of us are thrilled that we had time to spend with family and friends. And some of us feel like we just went through the motions, and that all the festivities failed to make us truly happy or joyful. Many will say that the celebration of Christmas is all about and for the children. And maybe that's because the children still have a sense of awe and gleeful anticipation. Christmas to them is a huge event, one full of surprises and delights. Do you remember when Jesus told the disciples to, quote, let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs, unquote. Perhaps Jesus had had enough of people coming to him expecting him to cure their ills or convince them of his deity by performing miracles. And maybe he was tired of the disciples fretting over food and logistics and who was Jesus' favorite disciple. Maybe Jesus just wanted to experience the simple joy of little children who wanted nothing more than to be near him. We could take a lesson from those little children, especially as we reflect on the Christmas season we just celebrated. Preparation for it is important. Gift giving can be a reflection of our gratitude for the ultimate gift that we received when God sent his Son to us. But I think we will always experience Christmas as being less than we had hoped for, until we finally own for ourselves the joy that the little children felt by simply being in the presence of Jesus. They were in awe of this incredible man, and all they wanted to do was be with him. That's what's missing for so many of us: a sense of awe in the presence of God, a wanting to drop everything to be with him. Our scripture passage in Luke this morning is a wonderful reminder that awe and anticipation are the essential building blocks for a life of faith. Jesus was just 8 days old when he was presented by his Jewish parents to be circumcised, and 32 days later they made their way to the synagogue for the act of purification. And when they arrived at the temple, there were two very elderly people who were what we would today call pillars of the church. They were always at the temple. I personally rejoice that one of them was a man and one of them was a woman. It is no accident that the Holy Scripture points out here that when it comes to serving and honoring God, there is no hierarchy of power and no restrictions based on gender. God sees gifts, leadership, and the ability to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit in every one of us. Both Simeon and the prophet Anna were people of hope and anticipation. They trusted that God would make good on God's promise to send a Savior for his people. But what I love most about these two remarkable individuals is that when they laid eyes on Jesus, they were just simply caught up in awe. Scripture tells us that Anna immediately began to praise God, and when Simeon took the baby into his arms, he thanked God that he had had the privilege of seeing in his lifetime the coming of the child who would not only be the Savior of the people Israel, but also a light providing revelation to the Gentiles. And more beautiful still in this passage is the statement that even Joseph and Mary were amazed by what was being said about their son. They too were in awe. That's what we need to recapture in the church and as individual believers: a sense of awe and wonder which sends us to our knees in the presence of God. We're going to have to make an effort, though, to capture it, because sadly, we live in a jaded, worn-down, cynical world, a place where everyone seems to have lost the ability to be in awe of anything. We've been taught to analyze everything, and we've been deceived into thinking only things that are rational or tangible can be believed. So we've lost the childlike wonderment and awe which are necessary for us to connect to God. There are many pluses to living in the current era. We have so much more than our ancestors had. Conveniences that free us up. If we want light, we just flick a switch or turn on a flashlight. We don't have to chop wood, cart it into the house, and make a fire in order to be warm and cozy, though many of us will do those things to create a special atmosphere in our homes. We don't have to plant seeds, toil the soil, harvest and store our own food. We can just go to the grocery store or the fast food restaurant and instantly get our dinner. The list goes on and on. But we've lost something in the process. We've become a nation of instant gratification. And although we are blessed beyond measure, we have become alarmingly cynical and insular. In this electronic age, we have lost touch with how much we need flesh and blood community. We need to be touched. We need to be loved. We have a deep yearning to believe that it matters that we exist. And we also need to know that there is a power and a presence that is greater than we are. A God who can make sense of a world we sometimes feel has gone mad. We need the God that Simeon and Anna believed in. The God that made them promises that they hadn't seen fulfilled yet, but they still never doubted that God would make good on those promises. And he did. They lived to see the tiny Christ child. Simeon and Anna didn't try to second guess God. They never dismissed or rejected God because God took so long to fulfill his promise. And neither should we expect God to conform to our expectations. Because a God who exists just to meet our every desire and request would not be God at all. It is not our right or our privilege to understand everything that God understands or to question God's timing. And the very fact that we can't totally figure out God is all the more reason to stand in awe of this God who gave to us grace and love. The story of Christmas is that God is most present when we are both humble and in awe. They go hand in hand. It was in a humble, lowly stable, fit only for animals, that the Christ child, the baby Jesus, was born. But people came and kneeled there in his presence. It was to humble, uneducated shepherds in the field that the first news of this miraculous birth was revealed by the heavenly angels. Jesus would grow into a man who had no home to go to at night, but who carried the mantle of salvation on his shoulders, and the culmination of his life would be on a humble cross where he was jeered and derided, but it was on that cross that he saved you and me and granted us a place in God's kingdom. Jesus was a humble man. But you and I, his followers, don't do humility very well. We seek every opportunity in the world and in the church to be in control, to be successful, to receive acclaim. Humility is countercultural. It goes against a zillion messages we've received over our lifetimes. But humility and awe are the foundation upon which a life of faith is built. Unless we admit that we need God, that God is bigger than we are, until we stand in awe of God, we will never find God. Now, we all know people that we admire and regard as examples of how we'd like to live our lives. So let's add Simeon and Anna to that list. For they were totally attuned to the power of God, and they trusted in God's promises. And as a result, their lives were marked by serenity and purpose. We have just celebrated the miracle of Christmas. It was an awesome event. And the interesting thing is that what happened that Christmas morning and what happened at the resurrection of our Lord, which we celebrated Easter, are moments that were completely beyond our control. But they totally changed our lives. It was God's doing, not ours. God reached down to humanity and handed us the means by which we could be drawn into God's presence and become a member of his family. It was an act of love and grace, and we ought to be in awe. The new year is a good time to take a fresh look at our priorities. Time to ask ourselves, what gives our life meaning? If we only had 3 more days to live, how would we spend them? What takes up too much of our time but is not something that we truly value? Anna and Simeon knew what was their priority, a glimpse of the Christ child. Is it our priority to have a glimpse of God? It all comes down to what we value most. The story is told of a holy man who was resting one day beneath a tree at the outskirts of a city. And he was interrupted in his resting by a man who ran up to him and said, the stone, please give me the stone. And then that man told the holy man that he had had a dream in which an angel had spoken to him of a man who would be seated outside the city, who would give him a stone and make him rich forever. So the holy man reached into his pocket and pulled out a large diamond. Here, he said, the angel probably spoke of this. I found it on my journey here. If you want it, you can have it. Well, the diamond was as big as his fist and perfect in every way. The man marveled at its beauty, clutched it eagerly, and walked away from the holy man rejoicing. But that night, he couldn't sleep because something didn't add up right. Why would the holy man so easily give up the priceless gem? And so before dawn, he sought out that holy man again, and he said to him, the wealth, give me the wealth that lets you so easily give away the diamond. What the holy man had was priceless. But it wasn't the gem, and it wasn't earthly wealth. The holy man was rich beyond measure because he knew that God had given him something that the world could never match. His deepest need had been met by his connection with God. If we realized that God had given us that gift as well, a gift that gave us serenity and purpose, then we too would be willing to give up everything else because we knew that what we had would sustain us forever. So let's resurrect awe and wonder in our attitude toward God. Let's make it the hallmark of our lives, because it is God who breathed into us the breath of life. It is God who has set our souls on a life journey which calls us to touch other people, to figure out what is really important, and to find our way back to God. Our faith assures us that in the end, God's power will override every injustice, every miscalculation, every unfair situation, and every evil that this world has ever known. We who believe are on the winning team for all eternity. The truth is, our God is an awesome God, worthy of our praise and adoration. We shouldn't need convincing to be here today worshiping God. Like the little children, we ought to be here simply because we want to be in the awesome presence of God. O Come, Let Us Adore Him isn't just a carol that we sing once a year. It is the song we should be singing every day of our lives. Unworthy as we are, God loves us anyway, and gave us on Christmas Day the most precious gift we will ever receive. A gift that sets us apart and defines our lives. A gift worthy of our undying awe and wonder. Amen.